Good evening, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic View Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and you can also visit our website, which is www.theorganicview.com. If you have any questions or would like to connect with us, you can simply post a question on our wall on Facebook, send a tweet to @TheOrganicView, or contact me directly at June Stoyer on Twitter. If you'd like to be on the show or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at questions@TheOrganicView.com. This evening's show is brought to you by Eden Foods, the most trusted name in certified organic clean food. Shop online at edenfoods.com and enter the coupon code ORGVIEW, that's ORGVIEW, when prompted during checkout to receive 20% off any regularly priced items, excluding cases. For other promotional offers, please visit theorganicview.com's website. In this special series called The Neonicotinoid View, my special guest co-host, beekeeper Tom Theobald, and I have a number of topics that we're going to be talking about. And we also have a special guest tonight with us, Mr. Todd Bebb from Santa Barbara, who's going to be talking about a new discovery in Santa Barbara in which imidacloprid was found in the water. So first I'd like to welcome to the show Tom Theobald. Good evening, Tom.
Good evening, June. It's a pleasure to be here.
Always great to have you, Tom. And I'd like to welcome to the show Mr. Todd Bebb. Good evening, Todd.
Hello, June, and hello, Tom. I've read so much about you, Tom, and I'm thrilled to be speaking with you finally.
Well, we'll find out how thrilled you'll be in 30 minutes.
Okay.
Now,
it's nice to talk, though.
It's always great to have a conversation, and I think that's really what needs to happen in order for us to bring about the changes that we need. If it's just a one-sided conversation, that doesn't really get you too far, but with neonicotinoids, I kind of think it's interesting that there's such a heated debate over whether or not they should be used, and it's just very interesting that if it weren't for the fact that there's so much money to be made, I don't think it would be as long and drawn out. What do you think, Tom?
Well, of course not. I mean, this whole thing is driven by the economics of it, but one of the concerns that I've had, and it bears on what has happened recently in Santa Barbara, my concern has been that it seems to be that the regulators are very carefully avoiding any assessment of to what degree the environment has been poisoned by this new family of chemicals, the systemic pesticides. With the exception of the U.S. Geological Survey, they found in 9 Midwestern watersheds, they found the neonicotinoids in every sample that they took and at killing levels in many of those. And now I've just recently become aware of stream sampling that has gone on in Santa Barbara where they've found imidacloprid in every sample, and that's one of the neonicotinoids. And maybe Todd could expand on that for us and explain why anyone would care. Why is that significant?
Well, I first got involved in the whole neonicotinoid issue when the California Department of Food and Ag informed us through our county ag commissioner's office that they were going to be coming here to spray our citrus, regarding the Asian citrus psyllid and the Huanglong Bing. And that's what got our little Santa Barbara Beekeepers Association and our 300 members a little concerned about CDFA coming into our backyards and treating our residential trees. You know, it's one thing if the commercial guys decide to use these products, but, June, you mentioned that they're finding imidacloprid now in, the local creeks, the local waterways. That was last October where this report, I was notified that they had found in all 4 of our creeks, none of which are affected by any commercial ag. So this is all residential use of imidacloprid, which is not monitored.
I just want to point out that Amita Cloperd was also found on Long Island a couple of years ago, and from what I understand, there was some sort of legal action that was taken, but I don't know what became of it. But this is becoming a serious problem. The fact that in four water samples that were taken by the City of Santa Barbara Creeks Committee. From what I understand, they took four samples in different locations, and that's how they go about testing the water. And they were very surprised.
Yeah, that was last October.
Yeah.
Have you seen any effect in your bees, Todd?
Well, I mean, it's hard. When you lose a colony, it's hard to pinpoint what exactly caused it. And I know this whole issue or this whole term that everyone likes to use, CCD, there are a lot of variables that can be affecting the bees, whether it's the varroa mites or, some of the different pathogens. But we all know that the insecticides and pesticides do affect them as well. But it's hard to put a finger. Yes, I do believe that we lost about a year and a half ago when they came in for the imidacloprid treatments. Within a couple of miles of the treatments to the commercial groves there, we did lose a lot of hives. We did send samples back to Marianne Fraser at Penn State. But again, the findings come back inconclusive. There isn't an acute toxicity level found in the pollen or the nectar or even in the bees themselves. So, of course, they say you can't pinpoint imidacloprid as being responsible for the deaths of these hives.
Mm-hmm. One of the concerns that beekeepers have nationwide is this water contamination, because that water is not only utilized by the bees, but all manner of life. And it appears from the evidence that there is no safe dose, that all you have to do is introduce the element of time and you reach the same endpoint, which is death. Now, I think that's why the Santa Barbara findings are of such consequence. You're not in a major agricultural area, as I recall, primarily citrus, wouldn't it be?
Citrus and avocado.
So where is this imidacloprid coming from, in your opinion?
It's residential use. It has to be. And I've spoken at length with, people not only at the Department of Pesticide Regulation, or DPR, here in California, but, some of our local. It's unfortunate that there is no regulation. You can go into any Lowe's, any home improvement center, really any gardening center, and buy the same products that are strictly regulated for commercial growers, but for the residential homeowner, they see these great promises of your garden will look absolutely beautiful if you use the systemic rose food or citrus treatment, and California Department of Food and Ag coming in now and mandating the use of imidacloprid as well as a couple of others to fight this Asian citrus psyllid, it's a tough pill to swallow. We know that they're doing harm. It's not just the bees. It's, we have the monarch butterflies, whose population I'm sure you've read in the media has declined seriously. It's all pollinators. It's all invertebrates, earthworms.
It's frogs.
Yep.
The list goes on and on. And the bottom line is that regardless of how much awareness is being raised, there's so many groups from the Center for Food Safety to Friends of the Earth, so many different nonprofit organizations are doing their part to reach out to consumers and letting them know by purchasing these products, you're contributing to the global decline of so many different species. And the bottom line is the sublethal effects of these chemicals is taking its toll. And as Tom pointed out, the dose-time ratio, which was proven by Dr. Hank Tenekes, which still has not been debated, That is rock solid scientific research that proves exactly what we have to look forward to with the continued use of these chemicals. So, now this is, I hate to say it, but what happened in Santa Barbara is going to happen in many other locations that people are really going to be in shock when they discover that their water is contaminated.
It's going to be found everywhere that they look, and everywhere that they have sampled the water, it's been found. It's just been a matter of they've carefully, on a national level, they've carefully avoided looking, because if they are to look, what it's likely to reveal is the magnitude of the poisoning that's going on. And, you know, in fairness to the homeowners, many of them may not even be aware of the fact that they're contributing to this. A lot of people in this area, at least, have lawn services, and they may be totally unaware of what's going into their lawn, being injected into the soil, being injected into the trees, and the first step they can take is to begin to question those people that provide those services.
Yeah, we actually, that was one of our initial campaigns this last year, was, you know, residential homeowners, educating them to ask their landscape personnel or people what products they're applying to their yards. I fully agree with you, Tom, that, you know, it's really a matter of education, but none of these, you know, federal or state level agencies have any interest, and probably because they don't have the funding to put out educational campaigns.
I think the point has been made several times in our discussions that the regulators and the chemical companies knew at the outset, 20 years ago, what the downside was going to be, what the damages were going to be, but greed drove this thing forward. Money drove this thing forward. And they knew going in what the dangers would be, and many people have said that at that point they crossed the line from politics and business into conscious criminality. This is a criminal enterprise that we're on the receiving end of, in the view of many.
It's getting to a critical point, and once again, Santa Barbara is just another location where neonicotinoids are found and actually talked about, not just hidden. And I'm sure that there are going to be more studies that are going to be similar that will find the same thing. So it's coast to coast. It's global. Wherever these chemicals are used, it's bound to come up if they do the testing. And I think that's what the bottom line is. Todd, if you could just take a moment, could you share with our listeners your organization's website so that they can be in touch with you?
Yeah, that would be usbba.org. And I actually founded the sbba.org, which is our nonprofit here locally for our Santa Barbara Beekeepers Association. And I've just recently started the usbba.org as basically my educational site for primarily pesticide issues and you know, the effects on pollinators for that. I don't know if you two are aware, but we worked with our local state assemblyman, Doss Williams, this last year, and we were actually able to get an assembly bill passed through the state of California in regards to a neonic reevaluation timeline. I mean, it's quite a game that the regulators play in regards to pesticide regulation and how they regulate and how they determine which products to, permit and allow for use. And as far as I'm concerned, the risk assessment model needs to be reevaluated. I think a precautionary principle, much like Canada and, you know, European Union use, could help us out a lot.
I couldn't agree more, and I think that as things develop, it would be great if you came back onto the show at some point in the future, Todd.
Well, thank you.
Yes,
I
agree. Todd, thank you for taking the time to speak with us, and thanks for everything that you're doing, and keep doing it.
Well, thank you, and thanks for all the work that you've done, Tom. And Judy, thanks for the invite.
Oh, you're very welcome.
I'm going to go play with some bees.
Thanks for calling in, Todd. The next topic that we're going to talk about concerns a major bee operation which was sold to another outfit. And Tom?
Yes. It's.
I'm sorry, Judy. Can I sign off?
Yes.
All right. Bye, you guys.
So ask your question again, June.
Sure. Getting back to what I was saying, there was a very large bee operation which was sold, and it caused quite a stir within the beekeeping community. Now, this is basically what commercial operations are facing. Either they're going to be selling, or, in your case, Tom, your business is going to go under.
Well, you know, and it's all, if you look on the other side, this is what some of the major users of pollination services are facing. And Paramount Farms is a major player in the almond industry. Of course, pollination is an essential ingredient in the success of their efforts. And what they have done, they have purchased Headwaters Honey Company, belongs to David Mendes, and it's not clear exactly what the particulars are, but David was operating about 20,000 colonies, and I would assume that the entire operation has come under the ownership or will come under the ownership of Paramount Farms. Now, I've talked to other commercial beekeepers, and none of us know too much about the details, but there have been other operations that have been purchased, and it looks like one of the things that may be developing is what we've seen in other areas of agriculture, and that would be that the beekeepers, the owners of these larger commercial operations, take a step, they make the change from ownership to being employees. They change from owners to employees, because it looks like one of the things that is part of the contract is that when Paramount Farms or anybody buys this beekeeping operation, they ask the current owner to stay on for a year to train their person. The likelihood is that the owner of the beekeeping operation will continue to manage that operation, but as an employee rather than as an owner.
But Tom, that is not something that's unusual in business. However, when you're talking about something like beekeeping, that's a whole different ballgame.
Yes, it is, and we're not really sure.
You can't just pass the baton.
It's not clear what it's going to mean. Some of the beekeepers think that it will, at least in the short run, be helpful, because now Paramount Farms doesn't have to just worry about having adequate colonies of bees available during the almond pollination. They're going to be responsible for those bees throughout the year. And that may change their perspective considerably. So, and they're a major corporation, and if they begin to see some of the losses that the beekeepers have been trying to tolerate for the past several years, we may see a little muscle exercise. So it may not be all bad. I don't know. But it certainly is a change. It is certainly different.
Well, as more and more commercial outfits are sold to these types of companies, I think what is also going to be missing is the advocacy component, because especially in the case of Dave Mendes, he's been very outspoken. And to a certain degree, it's almost like how small businesses are taken over by some of these giant corporations, where it goes from that personal relationship with your customers, so on and so forth, to, you know, you're just a number. If you need something, well, if it's not on the shelf, it's not there. But in the case of beekeeping, it's you're dealing with live animals. It's just not the same thing.
Well, you know, sociologically, it's a major shift as well, because commercial beekeepers are some of the last individualists. You know, the family farmers represented that up until not too long ago. Western ranchers have been very individualistic, and beekeepers were some of the last individuals. And if they're taken over by the corporate interests, then it will change the complexion of beekeeping totally.
I couldn't agree more. Now, the next topic is in regards to the impact of neonicotinoids on monarchs. The University of Minnesota's Dr. Vera Krischik did some research in which she fed butterflies milkweed. She treated milkweed plants with imidacloprid. And I guess it was the amount that could be found in your typical backyard. And the adult monarchs and painted ladies were not affected. However, from what I understand, the larvae of both species died.
Right. It affected primarily the larvae.
So even though glyphosate has been in the news in regards to the global decline of the monarch population, because glyphosate will kill the milkweed, and milkweed is the only plant that the larva can eat.
Right.
Now,
up until now, June, the focus has been on the milkweed, and I've raised the issue of the systemic pesticides, which are the companion technology for genetically modified crops. Certainly, the elimination of the milkweed has a very dramatic effect on the monarchs, but even the people concerned about the monarchs failed to recognize the other side of the coin, which was the seed treatments and the effect that that would have on the monarchs. And this recent research opens that subject, and I think does so quite effectively.
I couldn't agree more. And actually, that's what got me involved with this whole journey with neonicotinoids, because of work that I was doing with butterflies. And it's interesting just to see how far we've come in all these years. Now, the next topic that I'd like to talk about, we don't have a lot of time left, is in regards to new research about neonicotinoids from Dr. Chris Connolly. And basically, his research proves the impact that neonicotinoids have on bumblebee brains as well as colony health. And even this is not necessarily research that hasn't been done the research on bee brains has been done before with Dr. Randolph Menzel in Germany, but his research was specifically, from what I recall, on honeybee brains. This research was done on bumblebee brains. And it's just interesting that there's just so much research out there, and yet we're still having this discussion as far as what is going to happen, what the government is going to do as far as the continued use of these chemicals.
Well, our past experience would tell us that they're going to do nothing, that they're going to use every evasion that they can to avoid this kind of information, because there's been a cavalcade of scientific information. If you talk to experienced beekeepers, and I would say people who've run a large number of colonies for a significant number of years, they'll tell you that the poor bees don't know what's going on. That delicate little mechanism of a hive, a superorganism, has been totally disrupted, and it's been disrupted in any number of ways. The chemical signals that regulate the working of a colony of bees have been disrupted. The bees don't know what to do. We find that they're superseding, replacing the queen, when all evidence is that she's doing just fine, laying just fine. They're swarming at times of the year when they never would have 10, 15 years ago. We're having swarms in September, October. This research is beginning to confirm what experienced beekeepers have been observing for years. And we have an endless number, over 800 peer-reviewed studies were reviewed by the Worldwide Assessment on Neonicotinoids. 800.
Well, this study done by Dr. Chris Connolly is really compelling. And to quote him, he said, in the case of clothianidin, at this level, the brain cells could no longer produce energy. So they just stopped.
Yeah, they just stopped. I mean, how many signals do we need before we recognize the gravity of what's being done?
Well, that is the burning question. And unfortunately, I don't think that we're going to come to terms with this anytime too soon. I think it's going to be drawn out as long as possible until it becomes until it gets to the point where they know there's just no turning back. But I don't even know if we can survive that long.
It's been drawn out already far too long. Metoclopramide was introduced at the market in the United States in 1994, I believe. I think 1992 in France. Clothianidin, another of the major neonicotinoids, 2003. They have drugged their feet for decades while the carnage continues. This is criminal. This needs to be addressed. Where is Congress?
Well, it actually is being addressed outside the United States, which brings me to the next topic, which is the open letter to Ontarians. There was a big, it says this is in, let's see, thestar.com, and the article is called Safety of Neonicotinoids for Bees and Other Creatures Unclear, Colin Porter. And it says the widely published ad about neonicotinoid safety goes against warnings from scientists about harm for honeybees, other insects. Now, this is quite interesting. She wrote, neonicotinoids are the most widely used insecticides in the world. In theory, they are the perfect pesticide, coating the seeds of a crop so the growing plant is seeped in their poison, killing any nibbling critter. This means no sloppy spraying, no residue, no toxic runoff into nearby streams. Well, when you take a look at the sublethal effects, which have been proven time and time again, starting with Dr. Hank Tenneke's and so on and so forth, that is just not an accurate statement. Because the sublethal effects are basically what has created the situation in Santa Barbara, as well as so many other places. The stuff is mobile in groundwater.
Well, that was a commentary on a full-page ad that had been taken out by the ag chem industry and big agriculture. And that was the first of, we've seen three rebuttals to that, picking it apart, because it's propaganda. It's filled with lies and distortions, and hers was the first commentary. Hers was the second. The first was the Ontario beekeepers that took it point by point and refuted what had been said, and the most recent one was by a scientist. His name escapes me, unfortunately, but very, very informative and insightful. People should look these up. Maybe you can put them on your site, June, so that they can avail themselves of that.
Yeah, I think that the commentary is definitely worth reading. I thought this was a great response, as well as there's another one that was written by Dr. Clement Kent.
Yes, that's the one whose name I couldn't remember. And
yeah.
This is important. We're being lied to big time. They're worried that they're going to lose these billions.
Well, I think that's the whole point of the whole debate, isn't it?
Yep. Yes, it is.
Well, at this point, I guess as we continue with each week, it's just going to continue on and on and on with more and more of these stories. And unfortunately, even in with some of the big beekeepers, one by one, they're going to be dropping off.
I'm afraid so.
Well, Tom, thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Thank you, June. It's always a pleasure.
And folks, thank you so much for tuning in. Tune in next week as Tom and I continue the discussion. Have a great night.